Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast for download. The RTC still has the very best old-time radio on the live streaming. And if it's music you love, tune in to the RTC Music Channel, where this link and many others are on our website at oldtimeradiolisten.com. Now, here's Jim.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the RTC Weekly Download, the place to listen to old-time radio and enjoy it just like you would have in the days of old. Today, we have comedy for you, and we're going to go first to the Old Gold Radio Theater. Now, this is a program that features comedies exclusively, and its host was Harold Lloyd. You might remember the famous star of early silent pictures. So he had done this later in his career. I understand that he had to overcome mic fright to be able to do this program, so it's quite an accomplishment right there in and of itself. This is called The Palm Beach Story, and it's from 1944.
From Hollywood, California, the makers of Old Gold Cigarettes present The Comedy Theater, the only radio program that brings you every week the greatest stars in the greatest comedies. Tonight, The Palm Beach Story, starring Claudette Colbert and Robert Young.
Now we have the honor of introducing...
Oh, I beg your pardon, Claudette. I thought that was in my script.
Oh, that's quite all right, Bob. You've stolen my lines before.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, darling. It's just that my eyes, sometimes in this light...
I know. You have double vision.
That's right.
I remember that time you tried to play both ends of the love scene and also the dog that was sitting on my lap.
Well, now, wait a minute, will you?
And then be the husband who came in and found us.
Listen,
Ladies and gentlemen... Looks like I'll have to introduce myself.
Now you're almost as bad as Bob. Ladies and gentlemen, I have the greatest honor tonight of introducing to you for the first time on the air a man who has rocked the world with laughter, whose name is as familiar in Zanzibar as it is in Zanesville, Ohio. The inventor of the horn-rimmed spectacle, the director and host of the Old Gold Comedy Theater. He was born a number of years ago
excuse me, Claudette.
Hmm?
Now, I appreciate what you're saying, but... I'm really not running for the presidency. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Harold Lloyd. Thank you. I'm delighted to be here, and thank you, Claudette.
All right.
Now then, let's get down to business. Bob, in the Palm Beach Story, which we are doing tonight, you play Tom Jeffers. Claudette plays Jerry Jeffers. You and Claudette are married. Very broke, and having a little argument.
Well, is that unusual?
We find you at the beginning of the story browbeating your wife just because a nice old man gave your wife $700.
Huh, did a nice old man ever give your wife $700?
We'll disregard that. Claudette, as Jerry Jeffers, what did you do with that $700? Now, don't answer if you don't care to.
Well, I paid the rent, and I paid the grocer, and the insurance, and... had my hair done and bought this gold lamé dress and had $14 left, which I saved for my husband. Isn't that wonderful?
That's all very well, Jerry Jeffers, but there's just one little question you haven't answered.
What question, Tom?
Why? Why this alleged nice old man gave you $700?
Oh, no reason.
Is that so?
No.
He just... $700, just like that.
That's right. Oh, it was charming. You have no idea how it makes a girl feel to have a man say, here's my roll, peel yourself off something nice.
Is that so? I suppose sex didn't even enter into it.
Oh, of course it did, darling. Hmm? No, I don't think he'd have given it to me if I had hair like Excelsior and little short legs like an alligator.
This is very illuminating.
Well, you don't have to get so rigid about it. It was all perfectly innocent.
Yeah.
He was just a very nice, kind, rich, generous old man.
Where did you meet him?
You'll die when I tell you.
Well, go ahead. Kill me.
In the bathtub.
In the bathtub?
Yes. Isn't that a scream?
It's a yell. What were you doing in the bathtub?
I was hiding from him.
Hiding from him? What kind of games do you play around here when I'm out? How much water was there in the tub?
Well, I was standing in it, you idiot.
Standing in it?
In my pink negligee. What's the matter with you?
Well,
now, look, he was just a funny little old man the manager wanted to rent our apartment to. And as I wasn't dressed yet, I hid in the bathroom. Then he walked in. Some people have no sense of privacy.
What did he do then? Take a bath?
No. He was just terribly sorry to hear we were losing our apartment. He said he'd been young and broke, too, a long time ago. And then he gave me $700 and left.
And that's all?
Well, I did kiss him goodbye.
In the bathtub?
On the cheek. I half expected him to sprout some wings and fly out the window.
Yes, it does sound like a fairy tale. So you just tell me where this kind, rich, generous old man lives, and I'll take him back his $700 and thank him in my own way.
I don't know where he lives, darling. I don't know his name or anything about him. And I don't think they'd give the money back. I mean the grocer and the butcher and the drugstore. And you really couldn't blame them after they'd waited so long.
Yeah, that's right. Rub it in.
Oh, I didn't mean to. But it's such a wonderful feeling to have all the bills paid and be able to look everybody in the eye. I like that feeling. It's like a fresh start now that we're all paid up. This is much too expensive for you, Tom, although I know you just wanted it to be nice for me.
Where would we move to?
Well, I wasn't thinking about me. I just meant you.
Huh?
Look, darling, I'm no good for you. Honestly, I can't cook or sew or whip up a little dress out of last year's window curtains. I'm just a millstone around your neck.
Just when did you get this idea? This afternoon?
No, I've had it for a long time. Now, don't you see? By yourself, you could live in a little room somewhere or even move in with your brother and pay your bills and maybe even get ahead a little.
Who would you be moving in with?
Oh, well, that's no problem. You can always find a good provider if you don't care what he looks like. I'm tired of being broke, darling.
Oh, Jerry.
Oh, no, don't talk to me in that tone of voice. If you hadn't done it a long time ago, we wouldn't be in this mess.
Jerry.
What?
Sit on my lap.
No.
Well, sit on the arm of the chair, then. There, comfortable?
No, take your arm away.
Well, can't I just hold your hand?
Oh, I have a feeling this is all going to end very badly.
It's all going to end very well. I've got a man interested in my invention. He's already got $50,000. And if we can just raise the other 49...
I know, but they never raise the other 49. And then they go away, and then you start looking for a new one.
But I'm bound to crash through someday.
But I don't want it someday. I want it now while I'm young and can still laugh and dance and enjoy myself. Oh, darling, I'm sorry to tell you this, but men don't get smarter as they grow older. They just lose their hair.
Thanks.
No, you don't have to thank me. I'm not being so nice. Don't you see? I could be so much more help to you as a sister.
Oh, shut up.
Now, as your sister, if anybody wanted to go out with me, I'd naturally...
Shut up.
You just aren't practical. And take your arm away.
Oh, Jerry.
Oh, stop it. Darling, something has to be done. The terrible trouble with us is that we're in love. And every time I try to be sensible, you put your arm around me and breathe Jerry in my ear, and my knees start to turn to water.
Jerry.
Oh, shut up.
Where are you going?
Going downstairs to see if they have any cigarettes.
Well, I'll go for you.
No, I'd like to get out of the apartment for a while. It smells too much of love.
Well, what are you taking your coat for?
The lobby's a little drafty.
Oh, then why don't you let me go down for you?
No, I want to go by myself.
Hello?
Tom, I'm in the phone booth in the lobby.
Oh, what's the matter? Didn't they have any cigarettes?
I didn't come down for cigarettes. I lied to you.
Huh?
I'm sorry. Darling, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to divorce you.
But, Jerry, you can't get a divorce. They cost a lot of money.
No, the next husband always pays for that.
Oh, you have him all picked out, have you? Suppose I won't give you a divorce.
Well, then I'll become an adventuress.
Oh, will you stop talking like an idiot? I can just see you starting for China in a rowboat.
No, you're thinking of an adventurer, dear. An adventuress never goes on anything under 300 feet with a crew of 80.
Jerry, for heaven's sake, please.
Goodbye. Oh, goodbye, darling.
And so the curtain falls on Hey, wait a minute. What? That's not a cue for a sound effect. Sound man, come here, please.
Yeah, what do you want?
Well, I'm Harold Lloyd.
I know your sister, Sella Lloyd.
Oh, wait. Wait, now, never mind the jokes. Let's just get the sound effects right.
Look, mister, I only got two hands. You guys don't care how many sound effects you write in. Why, in 20 seconds, I got to open and close 8 doors, break 10 panes of glass, wreck 2 trains, make the sound of 6 guys walking with rubber heels on gravel, and if that ain't enough, before the story ends, I got to lay an egg.
Well, why be irritated? Light an old gold. So, Jerry Jeffers, you went to Palm Beach. How did you get there?
It was really very simple. Any girl could tell you how to do it. You just stand in front of the gate marked Florida Special.
You mean any pretty girl.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome. And what do you say?
You say you lost your ticket.
And that your grandmother's dying of pneumonia, I suppose. To whom do you tell this whopper?
I happen to tell it to the Ale and Quail Club, a group of rich millionaires who were going hunting.
What were they hunting?
Quail.
Well, I could have guessed that.
Well, frankly, yes.
And did they treat you nicely?
Well, I got there.
Without mishap?
Without my clothes.
What? Now, look here, young lady.
Oh, now, will you stop misunderstanding me? I just happened to be in the car ahead to get away from Sweet Adeline and a little shooting when the conductor got a little irritated and disconnected the car.
Oh, so you were left on the train without any clothes.
Yes, all I had was a suit of pajamas.
Oh, well, you had me a little worried there for a moment. And then you met...
John D. Hackensack III, the richest single young man in the world.
What was he doing there?
He was traveling in a lower berth.
And how did you meet him?
I stepped on his face.
Excellent. Yes, sir. I've often wanted to myself.
Well, he turned out to be a very nice young man. He bought me $38,000 worth of clothes in Jacksonville.
Oh, he did he?
Mm-hmm. And by the way, how did you know I'd gone to Palm Beach?
Don't get off the subject. $38,000 worth of clothes. I thought those millionaires were very careful.
He was. He wrote it all down in a little book. It was quite romantic, as a matter of fact. His yacht was beautiful.
Oh, we're on a yacht now, are we?
Yes, we yachted the last leg of the voyage.
I suppose it was all very proper.
Yes, he was a perfect gentleman.
Yeah. Anyway, you're on the yacht with John D. Hackensack III, who is no doubt gazing into your eyes.
Tom, you have an evil mind. I told you he was a perfect gentleman. Do you write everything you spend in that little book, Mr. Hackensack?
Well, it isn't really as bad as it looks. It's just something I learned in childhood. It pleased my grandfather. I write it all down, but I never add it up. You know, yachts are very dull.
Yes, I can see what you mean.
They are less dull, however, with you aboard.
Well, thank you, Mr. Hackensack.
Now, please don't misconstrue what I said. I assure you that I didn't mean anything in any way out of the way.
Oh, I trust you, Mr. Hackensack.
Your trust is not misplaced, Miss
Jeffers, Mrs. Geraldine Jeffers.
Oh, yes, what a beautiful name. You have left your husband, I take it?
That's right.
You know, I really don't approve of divorce.
Oh, well, isn't the Princess Centimelia your sister?
I was afraid you'd bring that up.
Hasn't she been divorced 5 times?
No, thrice. She was annulled twice.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Did he beat you?
Who?
The brute you were married to.
Oh, not often. No.
A drunkard, I presume.
Not a congenital one or anything like that.
Are you going to marry again or give up the whole distasteful idea?
Oh, I might weaken again if I found the right man.
I see. And what would he be like?
Well, just somebody who was reasonably well-to-do so that I could give Tom the $99,000 he needs for his airport. You see, after all, he fed me and clothed me and was very sweet to me.
When he wasn't beating you?
He didn't beat me very hard, just normally. And if I could give him a sort of going-away present, I'd feel better about the whole thing.
I see.
I'm not quite sure that you do, but...
You're protecting this man again.
What?
He wishes to sell you for $99,000. The man is a vermin. Of all the filthy things I've ever heard of, he should be incarcerated. No court of law would even... How does he want it?
In cash, I think, would be nice.
So I won't stop the check. I understand. There is a name for such reptiles.
Oh, I don't think he'll ever get it. It was just a kind of idea.
No, but I'll not sully the sweet ocean breeze by mentioning it. I'm not in the best of shape, but if I ever meet this Mr. $99,000 Jeffers, I'll thrash him within an inch of his life.
Well, then I hope you'll never meet him.
I suppose he's large.
Well, he isn't small.
Ah, this is one of the tragedies of this life. The men most in need of beating up are always enormous.
And so they came to Palm Beach. As they came up to the dock, Jerry noticed someone, a familiar face. She turned to John D. Hackensacker III.
Oh, wait a minute, John. Wait, you wait right there. Tom, why did you follow me down here for anyway?
Well, you're my wife, aren't you? You're making a fool of yourself, exposing yourself to all sorts of dangers that I promised to love, honor, and protect you from.
Oh, look, don't you understand? I've left you. I'm not your wife anymore. You're not my husband.
Oh, Jerry, darling.
Don't, stop it. Now, don't put your arms around me.
Oh, honey.
Tom, don't kiss me.
Well, I must say you do know the best-looking men on the pier.
Oh, Princess, this is the Princess Chantamelia, my brother, Captain McGlue.
What?
Captain, we should have met sooner. And if I'd seen you around, we would have. This is my brother, Captain Hackensacker. Captain McGlue. That's an odd name.
Yes, isn't it? How do you do, Captain?
I'm not a captain. That's my sister's joke because I own a yacht.
Well, that's my sister's joke because I don't own one.
Well, I'm very glad to meet you. Your sister didn't tell me that she had a brother here.
No, I just dropped over and...
And of course you're staying with us.
No. We wouldn't want to inconvenience you. We'll go to a hotel.
Inconvenience us? Bobo puppy. We practically run a hotel anyway. This will give the servants some exercise. Your brother's a very fine-looking man. You know, you look exactly alike.
Really?
I suppose he's married.
No. He's entirely free.
Oh, you don't tell me.
Now, look here.
I don't pay any attention to Maud, Captain. Her bark is worse than her bite.
Yes, that's what you think, Snoodles. And now, Captain, you take my arm. Hmm? What did you say you were captain of?
I didn't say a word about it.
Oh, how wonderful it is meeting a silent American again. All my husbands were foreigners, and such chatterboxes. I could hardly get a word in edgeways.
They certainly must have been.
You know, Captain, I have a feeling that I'm going to like you.
They make a handsome couple, don't they?
Pardon?
My sister and your brother. It would be nice if something came of it.
Oh, yes, wouldn't it? Be wonderful for him.
Captain's a big fellow, isn't he?
Yes, isn't he?
You look exactly alike.
Oh, yes, don't we? You know, people always tell us that.
I am not grousing.
You are too grousing.
I am not. I'm being very reasonable. I merely want to know why the Captain McGlue of all the idiotic names.
Because I want him to finance your invention for you. He seems to have something against my husband, but as my brother...
I wouldn't allow him to finance a pack of gum for me. I still would like to know why I'm to be called Captain McGlue.
But wasn't that your mother's name?
What, Captain McGlue? Oh, really, Geraldine, her name was McGrew.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, darling. I remembered it as McGlue.
Well, what am I supposed to be captain of, a garbage scow?
Couldn't you have been a captain in the last war?
Sure, I was 11 years old at the finish.
What about the Boy Scouts?
Wonderful. I could go around building bonfires on the drawing room carpet.
Oh, I'm sorry, darling. I really meant it for the best.
Well, I suppose you did, but why did you ever do it in the first place?
Because you had your arms around me.
I just suppose this Captain Hackensacker, this Snoodles, ever put his arms around you.
Of course not.
Then yachts must have changed since the last time I was on one. That's what they build yachts for.
Now, just a minute. What about your friend, the princess, that you're cutting such a groove with?
Princess?
And how did you get down here?
I flew.
Well, where'd you get the money?
Same place you did.
The cute little old man?
Yeah, well, he isn't cute. He has a wart on the side of his nose.
So he came back?
Yeah, he rented the apartment next door and came to see you. He wants us to get together again. Oh. Look, Jerry, don't you think we owe it to him? Just let me go out and poke Snoodles in the nose, just once.
Yes?
Excuse me for popping in. Mac. Did you happen to bring a tuxedo with you?
I did not.
That's too bad. In a pinch, you can wear one of mine.
I won't be here that long.
Oh, that's too bad, old man. I wanted to get to know you better. However, I'm very glad that you showed up just when you did.
So am I.
Good. I needed a male member of Jerry's family.
Well, you have him.
Fine. Now, I have a certain thought.
I have a certain thought also, and it's that bracelet you gave her.
Mac?
I'm very glad you brought that up.
Mac is delighted with it, Snoodles.
He shouldn't be.
He isn't.
Oh,
fine.
Look,
the first bracelet that my sister got, I punched the fellow right in the nose.
I can see we understand each other perfectly.
Look, if I could trust you boys not to slug each other, I'd like to make an exit right about here. I feel like a bone between two dogs.
Oh, we're going to get along all right together. You see, Mac, Geraldine's future and this little plan I have, which I had better discuss with you before... bringing it on her.
Well, that's mighty decent of you, Snoodles.
You think so, really?
That would have delighted Grandfather. He always thought me something of an ass.
Bright old boy, wasn't he?
Oh, very, very.
Look, I think I'll be running along.
Good. I have so much to say to your brother.
And you have a lot to listen to.
And I have so much to say to you at the dance tonight. Darling. Well?
Toodaloo. Pip, pip.
Isn't the music divine? I'm dancing on clouds.
Oh, you have a nice little voice.
Oh, thank you. I used to sing in college.
With a mandolin?
Yes, but I wouldn't play it around the house.
Would you be around the house much?
Not any more than you wanted me. I have an office, not that I do much in it. Say, perhaps Max would come and help me.
Oh, that would be wonderful. You two could plan the airport together.
What airport is that?
Oh, the most remarkable invention you ever heard of. A suspended airport right in the middle of a city, stretched like a tennis racket.
Really? You know, I might be able to help him. In fact, I will help him. Why not?
You will?
Of course I will. Up to a certain point. How much will a working model cost?
$100,000.
I think I'll be able to do it all right. Let's consider the model built.
Oh, Snoodles, you're wonderful.
You don't like to dance with me, do you?
Hmm? Oh, yes, certainly.
Well, then why do you let me flop around?
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's better. What's Jerry's husband like?
Who? Oh, just a flop.
A big flop?
Yes, any way you take it.
Well, he won't be such a flop with $99,000. Snoodles will give it to him, all right.
What's this about $99,000?
That's how much her husband wants.
You mean before he'll give her a divorce?
Oh, I love you like this, with lightning flashing out of your eyes.
Did she tell you that story?
Why should we talk about that heel when you're here?
Did she tell you that?
The big muscle in your arm contracted and squeezed me deliciously. Do it again.
Now listen, I...
No, you listen to me. I've got so many sweet things to say to you.
You know, Geraldine, I've never been so happy before in my life. You freed me of a certain timidity from which I've always suffered. And now with you and Mac in the airport, I can see great days ahead, full of fun and everything.
I'm sure of it, Snoodles.
By the way, I have a little surprise for you later tonight, so don't be surprised.
Well, what is it?
Well, if I told you what it is, then you wouldn't be surprised anymore.
Well, I wouldn't do anything too surprising if I were you, Snoodles. You never can tell how those things are going to turn out.
I'm persuaded you'll be delighted.
I certainly hope I will be.
Yes, if you just leave your window open onto the balcony.
Why, Snoodles!
Oh, no, it's not what you think, really. When I climb, I get dizzy.
So, you're a fast worker, aren't you?
You've got a lot of nerve to talk.
So you couldn't even wait a decent interval, you and your princess. I hope you're very proud of yourself, Captain McGlue.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
No, let go of me, you big pullover.
I'm the one that has the right to...
I know I'm an idiot, but I suppose it's when you've been fond of somebody for a long time. You shouldn't have come down here. You should have given me a little time to get used to the idea.
Well, maybe I should. But you can't blame a man for trying to hold on to something that he loves. That he always has loved. And always will love.
Oh, you're going to make me cry.
Jerry.
No. You're forgetting the airport. You're forgetting everything that counts.
Jerry.
Now, listen to me just this once, will you? I've always done what you wanted, and it's always turned out to be a disaster. Mm. Oh, good night, darling. Sleep tight. Your room is right through that door.
Well, it seemed funny sleeping with a sitting room between us.
And the door's locked.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that.
Well, nevertheless, good night, dear. What are you waiting for?
Well, don't you kiss your brother goodnight?
I don't know. I never had a brother.
Well, you have one now.
Well, don't be silly.
What in the world is that?
Well, that must... Oh, that's Noodle's surprise.
Why, he's got a whole orchestra down there.
Oh, he shouldn't do things like that on a night like this.
Oh, Jerry.
Don't start that again.
You really want it that way?
Please, Tom, it has to be that way. There's no other way possible.
Okay, I guess you know best.
Good night, dear. I'm ready to get undressed.
Yes, of course. I'm just a brother. We're big children now.
Yes. Good night.
Okay, Jerry. Good night.
Oh, Tom.
Huh?
Just a minute. I can't get this zipper in the back of my dress. Would you mind before you go?
Glad to. They're not making zippers like they used to.
Nothing's like it used to be.
Well, you'll have to come over here to the light.
Yeah, is that all right?
A little too high. Better sit on my lap.
Well, now, I don't think...
Oh, it's all right, sister.
There, now can you get it?
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean anything when I kiss the back of your neck, like this.
No, nothing.
When I squeeze you, like this.
You know I'm ticklish.
Or when I turn you around and kiss you, like this.
Oh, Tom. Tom, this is costing us $99,000.
Do you love me?
It's costing us the airport and all your chances.
Do you love me?
Oh, it's useless and impractical and wonderful.
Do you love me?
Yes, darling. I love you. I love you. I love you.
That's all I wanted to know.
Claudette, Bob, that was wonderful. It's a great story. But, look, you haven't told the audience what happened to John D. Hackensack III.
Oh, he married my twin sister.
And the princess.
She married my twin brother.
Well, that sounds simple, I think. But, look, with all these twins running around, are you sure that you were married to the right partner?
Well, of course we're sure.
Or are we?
Huh?
Now, next week's show... something wrong, Carl?
Something? Everything's gone wrong today. My first violinist has broken his second string for the third time. Three of my musicians are wearing brown shoes with their tuxedos. Two of my musicians aren't wearing any shoes at all. My tuba player has a hiccups, and everything he plays sounds like a march.
Why be irritated? Light an Old Gold.
Yes, that's right. Light an Old Gold and enjoy a better-tasting cigarette sprayed with apple honey to help guard against cigarette dryness. You know, a really flavorful smoke is swell when you get it at the peak of smoking perfection, not dry and harsh.
That's why Old Gold's grand-tasting blend of many-choice tobaccos seasoned with costly, flavorful Latakia leaf is sprayed with apple honey. This helps hold in the natural moisture and guards against cigarette dryness.
So why be irritated? Light an Old Gold. And when you ask for Old Golds at your cigarette counter, remember this. They've not only tripled in popularity, billions of them are going to the men and women overseas. So if your dealer says,
"Sorry, we're out of Old Gold."
Don't be irritated. Just keep on asking till he says,
"Old Gold? Sure, we've got some today."
Yes, we're sincerely sorry there aren't enough Old Golds to go around. But please be patient. And we'll keep on doing our very best to get them to you.
This is Harold Lloyd saying thank you and good night. See you next week.
The Palm Beach Story was presented by arrangement with Paramount Pictures, producers of Our Hearts Were Young and Gay. Robert Young is currently appearing in Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's Canterville Ghost. Claudette Colbert can be currently seen in David O. Selznick's Since You Went Away. And now this is Bob Williams saying good night until next week's Comedy Theater when we present Ball of Fire, starring Gary Cooper and Lucille Ball. And in the meantime, why be irritated? Light an Old Gold. Enjoy a better-tasting cigarette sprayed with apple honey to help guard against cigarette dryness. And listen to Old Gold's other great new show, Which Is Which, with Ken Murray as MC, Richard Himbers Orchestra, and famous stars of stage, screen, and radio, or their reasonable facsimiles. Tune in Wednesday night on another network. Consult your newspaper for time and station.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Now on to our second program for this week. It's the Red Skelton Show. The program's entitled Candy, and it's from 1944 as well.
Does your cigarette taste different lately?
Not if you smoke Raleigh's. They're blended with fully aged pre-war tobaccos.
The Raleigh Cigarette Program from Hollywood, starring Red Skelton, with Ozzie Nelson, his orchestra, Harriet Hilliard, B. Benaderet, Dick Ryan, Ferdinand Meunier, and yours truly, Frank Nelson.
Now, Raleigh's own historical review. Scene: a sun-scorched veldt deep in the heart of darkest Africa. A lone white man with steps slow and uncertain makes his way to a rude native hut, partly hidden by jungle fringe. Quietly, he addresses the bearded figure frowning at him from the doorway. Dr. Livingstone, I presume? A 10-second silence, then the reply, yes, and say...
Does your cigarette taste different lately?
Well, perhaps the taste change in cigarettes didn't actually furnish a topic for conversation there in Africa, but you certainly do hear smokers grousing about it today. But not Raleigh smokers, no indeed. There's no wartime loss of taste or quality in Raleigh's because Raleigh's are still blended with choice field-ripened tobaccos. Now, fully cured, brought to the very peak of their ripe, mellow best, those lighter, brighter tobaccos bring you a genuine pre-war pleasure smoke, without harsh irritants, without loss of taste.
And now we bring you MGM's popular comedian and the star of our Raleigh cigarette show, Red Skelton.
They do for hope, you know.
Thank you and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. How are you, Frank?
Hello, Red. I'm fine. Say, I see where tire inspecting ends April 20th.
That's right. April the 21st, they start inspecting rims then.
Say, what are you looking so happy about?
Well, a funny thing happened to me. I got my laundry back this week. That's pretty quick. I only sent it out last July, you know. Well, anyhow, instead of sending me the pajamas, they just sent me two pajama coats. Did you ever try getting your legs through the sleeve of a pajama coat?
Well, not lately, Red. I still can't see why you're so happy about it. You must look pretty silly with pajama coats on both ends.
Yeah, but I keep thinking about the guy that got the other pants. Say, who do we have with us tonight that plays an important part in our American way of living? Huh?
Well, tonight we have a man with an unusual occupation, a candy dipper.
A candy dipper.
Meet Mr. Delford.
Well, how are you, Mr. Delford? I've heard of professional onion peelers and olive stuffers, but what's a candy dipper? Somebody that takes a plunge in the candy business hoping to make a mint?
No, Red. It's a person who dips candy in chocolate syrup.
Don't wait. Just keep right on going. They weren't going. They do what?
They dip candy in chocolate syrup.
Really? I thought those kids that were licking your hands at rehearsal were doing it just because you were a kind-hearted man, you know? Tell me, do you have any troubles making candy?
Well, candy dipping is an art, and it's interesting, too. We're always making different candies for the seasons of the year. Christmas, St. Valentine's Day, and at Easter, the bunnies had to go to work on chocolate eggs.
Yeah, we're not doing bad here tonight ourselves, are we? Hey, I remember one Easter I put a big chocolate egg into my Paul Parrot's cage. He was asleep at the time. When he woke up, he says, "Boy, somebody put in a hard day, didn't they?" Anything unusual? That was the writer applauding for that. Are there anything unusual about your candies?
Well, our kitchen has done something to help people find hard centers. Yeah. On each chocolate is a design. We use a H for hard centers and an S for soft centers.
Say, that's wonderful. There's nothing so aggravating as a box half full of eaten chocolates, you know. You ever see people say, "Oh, candy, I don't want that one." Say, just point it out to me. I'll read it here. You know, I used to help decorate colored eggs myself.
You mean you squeezed out the icing to decorate?
No, I was the chef's eraser. See, every time he made a mistake, I licked up the icing. I knew a man who loved his work making candy so much that every time he sneezed, he'd go, Hershey! Say, what's it like in a candy kitchen?
Well, everything is snow white, and our hair is completely covered with a close-fitting hat. And each piece of candy has a personal attendant as it goes down the assembly line.
You mean, you learn something every day. It really goes down a lump of sugar and then it comes out a piece of candy. Huh?
That's right.
You learn something new every day, don't you? An assembly line for candy. I can just see it in production. A man runs up with a chart and he says, here's the plans for the revision. The man stutters, of course. Guy comes in, he says, here are the revised plans for the new combination four-motored bonbon. Then you quickly start the furnaces and you whip up a batch of chocolate syrup. Then a man on the scale measured off a roll of almonds. And then the Tutti Frutti girl stands by with a magnifying glass to see that you don't get more Tutti than Frutti. Then it starts down the assembly line. The almond is placed inside the Tutti Frutti. A couple of cherries are riveted on. And then the inspector fires the girl.
What for?
The nut was loose. Then it's handed to you, and you personally dunk it into the chocolate syrup. Then it goes into the freezing room, where a woman carefully packs it into the small wax cup. All this work, just so somebody can squeeze it to see if it's got a hard center. Say, are you ever tempted to eat candy now and then?
When you first start doing the work, yes.
Really? You know, I used to be a candy salesman.
How interesting.
Yeah, I used to walk in and say, now, ladies and gentlemen, it's always customary for a show of this kind to have a confectioner or a chewing candy. Now there's a price in each and every pack.
Now I remember. I first saw you in the center aisle of the Burbank Theater.
No. No, I was in the balcony. Rags Raglan was in the center aisle. Well, thanks for dropping in, and if you ever have an extra box of chocolates, look me up, will you?
The music whisper echoes of romance.
Cuddle on my shoulder.
Hold me while we dance.
It's a moment tender.
Now the spell is cast. Maybe you'll surrender, but you move too fast. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't you know it's more romantic when a dance is slow? Take it easy, take it easy. What's the good of feeling high when all the lights are low? Take it easy, take it easy. We've got lots of time ahead of us, the night is young. Take it easy, take it easy. Don't you know this music should be swayed instead of swung? Take your time, easy and slow. That's what they tell you down in old Mexico. Take it easy, and take it easy. Don't you know it's more romantic when the dance is slow? Take it easy, take it easy. What's the good of feeling high when all delights are low? Take it easy, take it easy.
You sound very unconvincing as a gigolo.
Take it easy, take it easy.
Boy, that accent really sends me, it's from Kokomo.
Take your time, dance it with ease. Take your time, slow if you please. Look in at the El Punkerino Ballroom, where they're really slicing up the rugs. Here they go.
Take it easy, bud. Take it easy.
Ah, come on. Get shagging, Maggie. What you got to lose?
Take it easy, Butch. Take it easy.
Okay.
You're mortaring me corns with MGI shoes. Take it easy.
Come on.
Take it easy.
Are you kidding?
You bought a ticket for a dance and not a wrestling bout. Take it easy, chum. Take it easy.
Okay, Toots.
I am firmly convinced I should have sat this one out. Take your time, easy, my friend. Stop swinging your feet.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the end.
Yeah.
Does your cigarette taste different lately?
Not if you smoke Raleigh's. They're blended with fully aged pre-war tobaccos. So remember, if your cigarette tastes different these days, smoke Raleigh's for perfect taste.
Now, if we just had Archie here, we could liven up this joint a little. Now we come to our satire on our American way of living, and it's about candy. A guy with a girl and no money is really in trouble, so let's look in on Clem, the fella from the country.
What a beautiful morning. Oh, spring is here. I'm out to get a girl, boy. All I gotta do is take off my hat, let the girl see my hair, and then, boy, they start calling me pet names. Anybody know what a Saint Bernard is? There's my old friend, Slim Pickens, over there in his car. There's really a dude. Like the way he wears his mustache. I wonder how he gets it to curl around his ears that way.
Howdy, Mr. Griddlehopper.
Howdy doody do you. What's new, huh?
Well, I see where they're making a picture based on One World, that book that Mr. Wilkie wrote.
Bet nobody up in Wisconsin goes to see it. Hey, you ain't seen Daisy June, have you?
Well, yeah, she was just by here looking for you.
Really?
And boy, she sure is skinny, ain't she?
Yep, she's the only girl I know whose shadow outweighs her by 20 pounds.
You know, she ought to eat some candy and put on some weight.
Really?
Her face is too thin and pale.
Well, she can't help that. She's been drying her face in a clothes wringer, you know. Sure wish I knew where she was.
Oh, she'll be back. She heard you had some money.
All I got's a nickel, and I owe 3 cents of that. Hey, I got a date with DJ, too.
Well, just wait till she finds out you're broke. You're gonna be a pretty sad goon.
Oh, I ain't worried. I can get a girl. Don't worry. I ain't half bad. I'm all bad. Hey, here comes a girl. What's her? They like them football types, you know.
Football types?
Yes, sir, boy. Now, don't tell me my head don't look like a football. Watch me. I'll go to work there. Hello, chicken. Going home to roost?
Why, Clem!
Why, did you? What, past that line of dress shops? No, sir, not me.
I won't buy anything. I just want a window shop.
You mean look in windows? Don't be silly. People don't go to bed this time of the day.
I heard you got some money, Clem. Come on, let's walk.
Yeah, okay. I'm anxious to find out how this turns out myself, you know. Hey, oh, there's a candy store. Let's cross to the other side of the street, will you?
Why, not in the middle of the block? It's dangerous.
Really?
I knew a man who crossed in the middle of the block, and 2 months later he had the mumps.
Okay.
Let's walk to the corner.
Well, truthfully, I don't see the connection myself.
Come on, Clem, let's walk.
No, I don't like to walk too much. Waste my shoe leather, you know.
You ain't wearing shoes.
I ain't? Well, no wonder it hurt so bad this morning when I had them half-soled. Come on, let's go back to the corner and cut across.
What's eating you, Clem? You'd think something was going to get you.
Okay, let's walk fast. Now, I'm in a hurry. I got to get home, put my arm to bed.
Why?
It's going to sleep. It's too fast for her. She didn't get it.
Clem, look. Stop pulling me.
Well, now I hope you're satisfied tearing my ear like that.
Well, I only want to look in this window.
Oh, look, candy. Say, don't that smell good?
Yes, it does.
You want to stand over here? You can smell it better. Hey, you, would you like some?
Yes, I would.
I'd afraid of that.
Good morning.
And to you, howdy doody.
Well, don't stand there, Clem. This ain't a waiting room.
Yes.
Give me a box of bonbons.
Here you are.
Well, now, just a minute. I was here first. I was in here before he was.
It only took me a second to wait on
that him. That ain't the idea. Well, I've never been so insulted in all my life. I'll take my business elsewhere.
Oh, Clem, don't be so silly.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm going to the dime store.
I'm sorry, but I was in a hurry.
Hurry? The candy won't melt, you know. Do I look like the type of guy who'll buy all of it?
Well, truthfully, no. If the lady gets any candy, I imagine she'll have to buy it.
Well, now that does it. That does it. I'll teach you to be rude,
all
brother.
All right, Clem. Now that's enough.
I'll take care of this guy. I'll hammer him to massage and then beat him to a pulp.
Clem, you ought to be ashamed of yourself, picking on a midget.
Well, he's a king-sized midget, though. I'm sorry, Shorty. Come on, I'll show you.
Where are you going? going, Clem?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you went out, too.
All right. What are you going to buy?
How much is that little box of candy in the window?
$5.
No, the little one.
$5.
$5? Got anything left over from St. Patrick's Day? Something that ain't too spoiled to eat yet, you're spoiled enough to throw away.
Oh, Clem, don't be a tightwad.
Say, there's something that looks nice.
Sorry, we're all out of them.
You mean them boxes I'm looking at ain't there?
They're empty boxes.
Well, give me one of them. How much are they? How much are they?
Say, that box in the window sure does look good. Yeah. And I could use the box to keep my sewing in.
Look, folks, I'm rather busy. Mm-hmm.
Well, make up your mind, Clem.
You like mixed candy?
Yes, I do.
Give me 2 penny gumdrops. Let her mix her up herself, huh?
Thank you.
Men are famous for using candy to square themselves with a little woman. So let's look in on Willie Lump Lump, the king of the night owls.
Hey, move over, you bum, you! Move over, you road hog, you!
Hey, what's going on here?
Don't yell at me, officer. I'll come down to the police station and take my picture off the bulletin board.
Oh, it's you, Willie. Yeah. Now, what are you making all this noise for?
Oh, that dope in a big truck blocking the street there. I can't get past him.
Now, look, Willie, this isn't a street. It's a dead-end alley. And that's not a truck. It's a building.
If you hadn't have got here, we might have had a pretty serious collision, you know?
Come on, get out of that car.
Am I in a car?
Sure, what do you think?
I don't know, I thought them pedestrians were coming pretty fast at me.
You better get yourself home, Willie. Just leave your car right here. I'll walk to the door with you.
I'll bet you will.
Look, why don't you go see a psychiatrist?
Why, my vertebrae ain't out of play.
Don't the staying out late bother you?
No, it bothers the neighbors more than it does me, you know.
I still don't see why you don't spend more time at home.
Have you ever seen my wife? She looks like something that went to a funeral and forgot to bury.
Why, she's a sweet, kind woman who thinks the world of you.
I'm talking about my wife. Who are you talking about? I got her a present. Would you like to see it?
Good heavens, man. Put that away. You shouldn't flash stuff like that around.
Yeah, well,
you're allowed to get hit on the head.
Yeah, well, you're a nice guy. Here, you can have it. Go ahead.
But that ain't money or diamonds. That's an O. Henry bar.
A cellophane wrapper, too.
No kidding. Where'd you get it?
A soldier. I gave him my wristwatch for it. You know, he says in their PX they got all kinds of candy. Of course, I think he's been in that desert heat a little too long.
I don't know. I hear they have plenty of butter and meat.
Yeah, I saw 2 mess sergeants paying their way into the Palladium with a pork chop, you know.
Yeah? Well, Willie, here you are.
Well, I gotta go now. I'll brace myself to meet my ever-loving wife, see her beaming face, her beaming smile. She's a little off the beam tonight. You ain't gonna throw me out again, are you?
What's the matter, scared? I thought you said you didn't know the meaning of the word fear.
Well, I looked it up. Now, take it easy, will you?
Willie, I can't stand it any longer. You'll have to find a place for my mother to live so I can go home to her.
Well, why can't she go home to her mother?
Because her mother's gone home to her mother.
I'll stop if you will.
You don't appreciate me.
Oh, yes,
I scrub for you and slave over a hot stove for you, and what do I get?
Oh, probably a million letters tomorrow from people asking you to be their maid, you know.
You don't appreciate me. I'm jade under your feet.
Oh, I wouldn't.
I'm just your slave. Oh, I'm just a boy and a girl that can't.
Oh, shut up!
After all I've gone through for you, after I've given you the best years of my life. Well, say something.
Were those your best years?
Why, you...
Now, don't start yelling here. I brought you a present.
Oh, Willie, you shouldn't have. What is it?
I heard you say you like chocolate, Steve.
Yeah.
I brought you a box to keep them in.
Oh, you shouldn't.
Oh, it's all right. I want it on a punch board.
Why, you cheat?
Put me down, where?
I'll put you down. I'll throw you out of the window on your head.
Oh, no, you won't.
Oh, yes, I will.
Oh, no, you won't. You won't throw anybody out on their head. Now, you see, wise guy, it didn't land on my head, did I?
Smokers, the Jean cigarette have taste jitters, up in the harsh, hot zone one pack, down in the flat, flavorless field the next. Not if you smoke Raleigh's, and here's why. There's no wartime loss in the taste or quality of Raleigh's for the good reason that Raleigh's are still blended with choice, fully aged tobaccos. Now, at their mellow, flavorful best, those lighter, brighter tobaccos assure you a genuine pre-war pleasure smoke with every puff. Smooth as always. Mild as always. Better Raleigh's stay factory fresh longer, too. They're doubly protected by the best moisture-retaining agent known, and flavor-sealed in Raleigh's exclusive inner wrapper. A pack of Raleigh's means a pleasure-perfect smoke. A carton means extra economy and convenience. For the best in smoking, get Better Raleigh's, the cigarette of fully aged, fully mellowed tobaccos.
Candy and things that are sweet. So, Harriet, you be my mother, and I'll be the mean little Karen. That sugar board, I'm gonna get it, I'm gonna get it. Oh, brother, now I'm really gonna get it.
Junior, what happened?
You know that big meat platter?
Yes.
I just made hamburger out of it.
Junior, what are you doing in that cupboard? Are you in my sugar bowl again?
No, not all of me. Just me face.
Junior, how many times have I told you? You can't eat plain sugar.
Well, could I have a widow if I put ketchup on it?
Now, you listen to me. If I catch you swiping sugar...
I didn't swipe any. So help me. Cross me fingers didn't swipe any, you know. I just smooth out the top of it, you know. Some stick on me hand, I lick it off.
Listen, if you want something sweet, ask for some candy.
Okay, can I have some candy?
No. Yeah.
I don't see your point, truthfully. Hey, Mummy, you always promised to give me a dime for candy, but I never see it, you know.
When did I promise you a dime?
Last night when you were talking in your sleep.
Well, I must have been delirious.
Well, tonight I'm going to take a checkbook to bed with me, but...
Junior, have you been a good boy today?
Yes, I have. Of course, today's still young, you know. What's cooking in your widow head, kiddo?
Well, your father's home.
Oh, so that's what you were dragging upstairs last night.
Junior, you didn't hear anything.
Yes, I did. Of course, I didn't know it was me, Pop. It sounded like he was dragging a bobsled with rubber boots tied on.
Well, let's not discuss your father anymore.
He is kind of disgusting, ain't it?
When he wakes up, I'll have him give you a nickel for some jelly beans.
Jelly beans? You mean them little red and green candy? Licorice and gumdrop?
Yes.
With a hard and soft inner?
Yes.
Don't like them.
Young man, you're getting just a little too fresh.
Well, you gotta admit, I'm pretty clever kid, though. Only this morning, I made a few new improvements on my secret weapon I'm building with my chemistry set, you know.
What did you do?
Well, next time Pop turns on the radio, the whole front room's gonna move out on it.
Oh, Junior, you're kidding.
You just keep laughing, that's all.
Before I forget it, who nailed your father's shoes to the floor?
Oh, well, now, that didn't hurt nobody but Pop, you know. Even you laugh at that, you know.
Does he have an awful time trying to stand up?
Yeah, he looked like a totem pole in the wind, didn't he?
Come on, jump down off that cupboard. I'll catch you.
Okay.
Wait till I turn around.
Now she tells you.
lay there. Get up so I can see if you scratched the floor.
I can't get up. I got a Charlie pony.
You mean you got a Charlie horse?
This is just a widow cramp, you know. Hey, can I ride me tricycle outside if I promise to get it back in time for Pop to ride to work?
Well, all right, but don't ride down that steep hill. You might crash into a wall, and tricycles are hard to get nowadays.
Yes, somebody at the door.
Junior, peek through the window first. It may be a bill collector.
Oh, it's that last of the big parade from next door there.
Junior, will you stop referring to Mr. Mounier as being fat?
All right, then. He's not fat. He's just badly swollen, you know. When he gets here, I'm going to ride my tricycle around him just once, you know. That'll take about an hour, you know.
Junior, well, open the door.
No. He only wants me to run an errand for him, you know.
Junior, he's been very good to you.
No.
Gives you a nickel every other day for candy.
Yeah, and then he looks in the bag and says, "Let's see what you bought, kiddo." And then them big lunch hooks wrapped around it.
Tell him not to eat it.
No. And then I wouldn't even give me a nickel for the candy, you know. You know, someday I'm going to get $10 and get a jawbreaker.
Jawbreakers are a penny.
Not the kind I mean. These are brass and you wear them on your knuckles. You know?
Junior, will you open the door for him?
Okay.
Well, Junior,
hello.
Hello,
you big fat slob. Where you been? Down the service station getting your tummy pumped up, huh?
Oh, no. Just getting a little sun and air.
Yeah, brother, yes, you need it, do you? Hey, put your hat on, will you? That sun shining on your bald head and the light's glaring in my eyes.
Junior, you shouldn't say things like that about Baldy.
Perhaps I am a trifle bald.
A trifle, he says. You better get a toupee, you know. That's mighty slippery landing field for them poor little flies.
Junior, would you like to hop on your tricycle and ride down and get me the evening papers?
How much again is for me?
To pay you to do something would be like teaching you bribery. You wouldn't accept bribes, would you, Junior?
He talks like a new man around here.
Okay, I'll give you a nice new nickel.
I'd rather have a nice old quarter if you got it.
You'll go for nothing.
No. I think it would be worth earning a nickel. Here's the money for the paper and a nickel for some candy.
You chiseler, you. You're going to eat it. Okay, I will go. Hey, did you wash that door on the window on that door there, or is it open, huh? He washed it. Now, I'm not going to make this trip for nothing. I'm going to fix him. I'm going to put this money down for the paper, and then I'm going to go back home and fix that guy but good. I'm going to chop up a little bar of soap in little squares and let him eat that for a change, boy. That'll stop him. Fix that guy but good. Now, there's the soap up on the sink. I'm going to teach him to let me earn money and then eat all me candy. Now, there's a knife there. Oh, boy, it looks just like fudge, don't it? High forever blowing bubbles. Now, I'll put it in this old candy sack. I've been licking the sides of there now. It's all fixed. Oh, boy, that's going to teach him next well.
Oh, Junior, back already?
Yeah, here's your paper, and look, a sack of fudge. Look.
Oh, my favorite candy.
Boy, I can't wait till he eats that.
Junior, what's so funny? What have you been up to?
Oh, he pulled that old listy what's in the bag stuff, and I fill it with little soap squares.
Oh, good heavens. He isn't eating it, is he? He isn't eating it, is he?
Well, if he ain't, we better shoot him because he's foaming at the mouth.
And remember, we'll all be with you next Tuesday at the same time. Red Skelton, Ozzie Nelson, Harriet Hilliard, and the gang. Until next Tuesday, then.
Red Skelton saying goodbye now. Thanks for listening.
Red Skelton is heard on this program through the courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer.
Smooth going is right. Ah, but that's only part of it. Sir Walter Raleigh smokes mellow, tasty, too. Leaves your pipe happy, clean as a whistle. And that's smoking that any pipe smoker will go for. Especially when that fragrant Sir Walter Raleigh smokes so easy and even, besides. You see, Sir Walter Raleigh's choice burleys aren't dosed with gummy flavorings that clog up your pipe. No, indeed. Sir Walter Raleigh is specially processed with a rum mist, so you get all the natural good taste and cool, even burning pipe after pipe. Never a soggy heel clogging the pipe bowl. For a real comfort smoke, men, a sweeter pipe that smokes clean as a whistle, ask for Sir Walter Raleigh, the quality pipe tobacco of America. And remember, listen to Hildegard tomorrow night and to People Are Funny Friday night over most of these stations. Good night.
That's it for this week. We'll be back next week with more old-time radio. I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan thanking you for listening.